Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back, politicians, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Lafia mediates a conflict, Raoul comments on the chairs, Squash hops around, and Zoltana shushes Frog Squash. After being turned into a frog, Squash reunites with a team to obliterate the threat in the library. Once they obtain the map, Raoul asks the political ramifications of the egg he is carving for Uranwa, while Zoltana contemplates date night with Adet. What was it like to be a frog? Has Lafian found a location for his school? And what romantic date is in store for Zoltana? I guess you're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die. As you turn around, as you look at the doorway into this small little rec room, Adet appears. Not magically, she just like walks into the room. Like,
babe!
Hi. So I managed to tweak timing just a little bit so I can be here a little early and stay a little longer.
I was gonna say, I didn't think it was Tuesday.
It's been a few days.
I'm happy to see you, though.
Happy to see you, too. And she kind of walks over, ignoring the other folks in the room, just, like, bends down and, like, kisses you quite heavily.
Rude. Yeah. It's gross. Big sloppy old kiss.
Yeah.
We're doing the comedy routine. Squaws are dead. Are dead squaws? No? Really? Okay, cool.
They've met.
I know.
She's like, we've met, Squash. She pulls up one of the chairs and kind of like decides and opts because it's so much lower just to like kind of sit on the floor next to Zoltana. So, what are you all doing?
Well, we were going to look at maps, but then we got distracted by this cool egg.
Yeah, I'll just put that away.
No, let me have a look. You're an artist.
Sometimes, when I'm not fighting.
He's a true artisan, he just won't admit it.
This is beautiful.
Thanks.
I mean, I can tell it's not finished, but it's beautiful. I mean, this wouldn't be out of place in, well, I guess, and she looks over at Laffian, probably royal, but I don't have much experience with that myself. And she hands the egg back over.
I have my own creations from him already.
So, maps?
Yeah. We're trying to figure out the layout of... Again, the name is stolen from me because I want to say Glengarith.
Geirtha? No, we're not talking about my aunt.
I know.
We're not inside Balance's aunt, Gad.
That's a different podcast.
We're not touching that.
You're right. We're not touching your aunt. That's the whole point.
Oh, my fucking... You know, all right. Why don't we leave the room? We'll go to a different room. You two can... whatever it is that you're... And we'll just... I need to do some reading. Odette, lovely to see you. Glad to know that you're doing the whole goddess thing as well. Fits you quite well. Very happy for you.
So, do you want to go for a walk or?
Yeah.
It's a bit cold out there, isn't it?
She kind of looks at you and she says, I don't experience cold quite like that anymore.
The cold never bothered her anyway. I can resist.
That look you're giving me, Aethor, is just...
Yeah, because that look means kill him. Kill him now.
Listen, it's not that hard. I only have a 15 AC. Like, I'm pretty sure you can't miss me.
Everyone gets one.
No.
Isn't that our rule?
Takes... Everyone gets one. Adet takes you for a walk. You notice that as everything outside before was like windy and cold and there was a lot of snow going around, that as you're walking next to Adet, you don't feel it as much. There's obviously something that she's doing, an aura she's giving out that helps you not feel this as much as you would have before. And she says,
so I did actually have a reason for coming a little early.
What's up?
So apparently Honorino follows us now?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I knew that.
You did. He prayed to you.
Yeah, Honorino
prayed to you and asked you about the politics, and you gave Honorino the Zone of Truth.
Yep. That's right, I did do that. Oops. Yeah, Honorino's one of my followers now. It's weird.
So someone was praying to me and they asked for forgiveness. Oh, this is...
And she kind of like scratches her head, like she's a little unsure on how to phrase or say something. And then she just kind of blurts out,
so Honorino has put a bounty on Dravos's head, and the person who was praying to me basically asked my forgiveness because they knew where they were going, where Dravos was headed to, because they wanted forgiveness for not telling Honorino because they didn't want to get in trouble themselves. And Dravos has gone into the Earthdark, kind of near Falsum. And I thought you'd want to know.
I do want to know that.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to kill that motherfucker myself.
Yeah. I know. I get it. I do. I guess we're going to come across things like this now, huh?
Yeah.
So he's near there and he's hiding because of you. You might expect.
She smiles. But it doesn't quite reach her eyes. Like,
yeah. Adette kind of like... She does that awkward smile back as well and just immediately drops it. And she's like,
I know that there's a bard with him and they're pretty much invisible all the time.
Yeah.
Just don't be harsh on them.
Is the bard the one that prayed to you?
Yeah. They're scared.
I will try to go easy on the bard, but I can't make any promises. Part of my whole thing, you know, as Bloody Vengeance is I would be going against my own tenets if I didn't get Bloody Vengeance on Dravos, and if that bard steps in my way, then they might be collateral.
I know. If I have to step in for them, it's not because I don't want you to do what you need to do. It's just I have to protect them too.
I understand. We're complementary, but also a little bit opposing.
Yeah. How about we leave the god business during business hours and just remember that we don't take that home, wherever home is going to be in the Sentinel plane, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Well, at least I've managed to tell you about Dravos anyway.
Yeah. Once I'm done here, I will... Hopefully, no one from Honorino's gang will get to him first, because if they do, I might have to
Honorino
revive him so I can kill him again.
Yeah, and that's not great. I do have one tiny request, though. Can you break that triangle? Because that was very annoying.
Wait, what triangle? I'm so confused. The ding triangle bard. Oh, Zoltana, like, she's like, you know, she's like, yeah. Yeah, that fucking, yeah, I will. I can do that.
I definitely, you said that. I was like, did I create a triangle of some sort that upset my wife? Like, what did I do? It didn't even occur to me it would be the instrument.
Weird love triangle.
Not between these two. It's just two of them.
Ding. Okay, well, that was kind of why I came early. I knew we needed to talk about some things and how we're going to cope with this, so I'm much happier. How is everyone doing?
I think everyone's okay. You know, it's... I feel like Rawl's going through it right now. You know, obviously...
Yeah. In a tough position, huh?
He is. I think he's gonna be okay. And Squash was having a real tough time. We were on the boat and we saw Demi, and I don't know if Squash is ready to kind of admit to himself how he feels about Demi, but it's pretty plainly obvious. So
I've dealt with her, spoken with, it's a little complicated, but yeah, they're idiots.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious how Demi feels too, but
they'll figure it out or they won't.
I tell him I'd help him with Demi? Like, get her back to normal? Yep. Yeah, okay. I told him I'd help him with getting Demi back to normal. So that's now on my top of my to-do list, because Squash is...
you're a good friend.
Well, Squash needs good friends. He's a really good person at heart, and, you know, I don't think he knows that either. I don't think he knows he's a good person, so...
And how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm a little worried about this test, but...
it's algebra.
I'm real bad at math, and you know that.
I'm sure it won't be maths. I know it's going to be something strong that you'll need to fight.
I'm good at fighting things. I killed a bunch of rats earlier.
I saw. Killed is a kind word to what the four of you did.
Yeah. Well,
if anyone can beat what's coming, it's going to be you. I can't tell you anything about it. I can't help you, but I have faith you're going to nail this.
Oh, she's going to give Odette another kiss. Just hold her hand.
Yeah. After that, it's essentially God talk about like the things that she's seen and the crazy, about the things she's seen and the experiences that she's had that's made her just open her eyes wide and go, what in Bikron is this?
I can't believe you saw
struggling with some of the decisions.
I can't believe you saw Tia wandering around in a towel like it was a sauna. What a weird day that must have been. What's the name of that spider goddess?
Lolf.
I can't believe... What do you mean that Lolf eats his... I mean, well done. I would have thought it would be raw. What a
and
weird...
And she prefers it with mayonnaise and not mayonnaise sauce. It's very weird.
I don't... Mayonnaise. Okay, this is touching on some weird territory.
So yeah, she kind of talks to you about some of those stranger experiences of being a goddess and what you both got to look forward to. She's generally very positive, as she normally is. Okay, so that is the majority of the date, plus whatever else they wish to do, we will fade to black and leave them to it. But we'll bring them back in later on in the evening. Okay, what are the three of you doing?
Books.
Is someone looking at maps?
Yes.
Okay, we'll leave the map conversation until afterwards. Raoul, what are you doing?
Oh, goodness. What did I have to do?
I know we discussed at the after we closed the episode last time. Sorry, after we closed the episode after the last session, that you were going to look at some hourglasses.
Yeah, my issue with the hourglasses and such is when I tried, it didn't work. And then Spectre was not around every time we teleported. It seems like he hasn't been around. And so I don't know if Raw feels like a trip to the stocking would be worthwhile right now without knowing that Spectre's not like around to ask questions to.
Well, you can look at the hourglasses without the Spectre. That is a possibility.
I can try
you
that.
Did nat 20 aimers, so fuck it. You can do what you want.
Raw,
I am going to help her impose the you can only look at someone's hourglass once, and if you fail it, you fail it. If you see it, you see it. Like, yeah. That's how I want to run with this. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
I can't remember if there was a penalty for not seeing it or not. I think I...
No.
Can't remember.
Like, if you fail it, you just can't break through. You just can't see it. That's basically it.
I think Raw had asked Squash to think of things to help him find Demi's hourglass.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I think Raw will ask Squash. Because, yeah, that's the only thing that he has that he could try with the stalking plan, I think, because Spectre's not around.
As far as you know.
As far as I know, and it would be a wasted trip.
Yeah.
If I try and he's not around for sure. And with what I know about stalking being weird, I'm not sure I exactly want to like go there. Because if Spectre's not around, I don't know what I'm jumping into.
Yep. It could be difficult to get back. But if it's something you want to glance at, the hourglasses are kind of a little different from your normal breaking through to the stalking.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more. Bigger picture stuff, I guess.
Squash?
Yeah.
Did you think of anything that might help find Demi's hourglass?
Oh. I don't know exactly how this whole thing works, so it's kind of hard for me to tell, but like I can tell you maybe some of Demi's more like prominent aspects, maybe that would help.
Sure.
Lewd.
He describes Ama's hourglass to you so that you have a good, like, idea now that you've, like, met Ama.
Hmm. Could I get a refresher what Ama's hourglass looked like?
It had...
V has the look of a person who wants to murder somebody.
It had golden-y scales.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's golden scales, and it looks like the top half is like pretty well full, but occasionally it will flip so that the smaller side, the smaller amount of sand is at the top, and then it will flip back again, basically indicating that Ama takes risky things. Mm. Like she takes risky risks.
Takes risky risks.
Yes.
Well, I think Demi's most prominent aspect is fire, flame. She adores fire magic. It seems to just pour from her when she's not thinking about it. But she's also consumed by a manic energy that kind of forms a chaos around her. So I wouldn't be surprised if her hourglass wouldn't actually be hourglass shaped, but something stranger. Like, still serves the purpose of an hourglass, but different. And I do know that she finds a certain attachment to the aspect of nature, to the world around her, to the ground and everything. So I wouldn't be surprised if it has, while the glass itself would be eccentric and different, I wouldn't be surprised if the casing itself would still be muted and earth and normal. Down to earth. Is that about right, V?
It's a squash interpretation of Demi. Nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but Squash spent a week with Demi, which I did not get to do.
Squash spent more than a week with Demi. They had from, I think it was like 30-odd days. It was nearly a month. This is, yeah, this is Squash's interpretation of Demi. I'm not.
All right. Then let's just, yeah, Squash kind of tells you these kind of things. So I guess this is what Squash imagines, roughly, what her hourglass would look like.
Okay, I look for something like that. Okay, I'll give it a shot. And Rolf focuses and closes his eyes and does his breathing.
Now, you kind of threw this on me last minute last time, and I think I made you make a wisdom save. Or a wisdom check. I think I went with a perception check last time.
That could be. Maybe investigation?
You can go for insight, investigation, or perception. I will let you pick any of those as long as you give me a good reason.
Insight. Because he is looking for the things that best represent Squash's insight on Demi's character, which he has context of now. Do those words make a sense?
I will take that. Yes, they do. Okay. They made a sentence. They're coherent enough, and it is enough for me to accept that reasoning. Okay. Yeah, no, I'll take that. It's not going to be the easiest check, but then...
Well, roll a 12.
Alas, the trying to get through... No, screw it. As you kind of push your way to where you saw the hourglasses last, when you saw Ama's hourglass, you find it not necessarily easy to get there, but you know the path. It's just difficult. But when you get there, all you see are rows and rows and rows of hourglasses of all different sizes and shapes, and you cannot focus in on a single one before you are brought back to the reality that you're in.
Okay. Ross snaps back and kind of shakes his head. Nothing yet. I haven't seen Spectre around, but when I know he's around, I can go ask. Just talking's weird here, though. I'm not so sure about it.
Yeah. Why do you think the Spectre's been missing?
I don't know. I had an acid attack on the boat. He was not around for the boat trip, I don't know. He's usually around.
Yeah.
Okay. Laffian.
Book. Lots of book.
I would like you to roll an investigation check, please.
Okay. Much book. 18. For the record, that was a 3 on the dice. So I'm going to go ahead and use one of my inspirations because I refuse to get lost in this frozen hellscape.
That is fair.
Much better. 27.
You open up the first book and you look through it and look through it, and there is really, it's more a very detailed map of this city, and it's a detailed map of some of the other cities that are along the coastline. And from looking at it, all that you really gain on the first, like, look through the first book that you pick up is that this town, this city, used to be way closer to the coast. Or perhaps the land and the ice have grown beyond. So maybe the ice itself is creeping out more into the sea. The landmass is increasing.
Hmm.
Over the however many hundreds or thousands of years since this place has been abandoned.
Oh, also, V, I'm going to use nomadic focus. Or not nomadic. The nomadic focus. I'm going to make it so that I'm proficient with cartographer's tools. And while I'm going through, I'm doing, like, quick sketches and routes and, like...
Yep, that's fine. That's good, because I will be able to help you plot. You'll be able to plot a more direct course to where you're trying to
go. Yes.
The second book you pick up, your second roll, is much better. This is a better map of Geerta. And as you pan through it, you can find out where the town that you're currently is in. And as you begin to look through and you begin to, like, focus, because you can read any language, correct?
Yeah, I just have to focus on it.
Yep. There's a lot of notes written here in another language.
I tune into those. I temporarily am not good with cartographer tools when I have to read.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a bonus action. I can fucking bounce through that shit.
Fine.
Just be like, boop, 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 boop.
You look at the maps and you find the correct things and you see, looking through it, like, all these names are, they're very much in the same line as, like, Colfor and Bayard. There's lots of those hyphens, the kind of various things that designate. They were towns on the coast, and looking more at this map, pretty much everything is on the coast. They were set up, as you would see, like, looking around, like, there would be lighthouses here. There would be things of, you know, helping ships get here.
Lighthouses.
Looking across this on, looking, however, a lot more on this, you can see that the odd town was dotted on the mainland, the inside area of Geerta. And then as you look more at it, you realise at the very north, the very centre of this landmass would be the very north pole of your planet, of Bikron, of existence, of this globe. And that place is marked, and it's called World's Rend.
World's Rend.
What do you mean, globe, V?
Yes. I mean, it's a sphere with slightly flattened top.
Excuse me, Bikron is flat?
I'm not having this flat Earth conversation with you.
Oh, God, are you a flat Bikroner?
I've only seen the maps one way. Oh, no.
No, it's... Listen, Bikron is flat. It's called a plane for a reason, okay? There are different planes of existence. They're not called different spheres of existence. It's planes.
Unless you got solid shit, I'm convinced. So, your turn, right, but you got a lot to follow here.
If you were paying attention whilst we were playing Dark Dice, you would have noticed that there were many drawings of existences, including a circle with a cross in it, which represents Bikron. Boom, circles.
No, I didn't. Actually, a circle is still a flat object.
Actually, there's a circle with a bunch of lines in it. And that's the normal D&D world of no planes.
I'm upset that we're actually arguing with the creator of the world about whether the world is flat or not.
You know, funny thing about that, it's almost like reality.
So, if you feel like tweeting at us whether Bikron is flat or a globe, please engage with us.
Hashtag
for the record, flat this Bikron. Is a joke. This is
hashtag
a joke.
Not my flat Bikron.
Tweet at us, hashtag flat Bikron.
So we can block you.
And hashtag no. Globe Vikron. Yeah? Okay. Vikron is a circle. Okay. This is so dumb.
When I teleport, okay. Why don't I go at an angle? Why don't I go at a curve, V? I just go in a straight
How
line.
How do you know you don't?
Science. Hmm? Hmm? Science.
Hmm?
Brain
How
power.
How do you know you don't do that? Hmm?
I'll get a protractor, goddammit.
You can get a protractor or you won't, my friend. Bring it on. I will science the shit out of this if you make me, but I don't have that many hours in my day.
You can't science me. I have too much magic for that.
Okay.
My Bikron has curves? My Earth has curves? Was that the fucking answer? Oh.
Aarakocras aren't real.
I can't cope with this anymore.
All right. I'm just tweeting it.
Wake up, sheeple. Bird watching, they also watch you.
How the fuck do I get back to where I was? Thank you, man.
We're looking at maps.
All right, World's End.
At the very north of, yeah, you find a place called World's Rend.
Yes, that.
And that stands out to you as not being the same naming convention as anything else. And unlike the rest of the particular map that you were looking at, the particular map book that you were looking at, the area there is kind of an odd, it's not a regular shape, it's not like it's a circle, it's a square. There's an area with very, very little detail. There are no contour lines on it, there are no like waterways that seem to be going through this. It's just an area as if someone had cut the map out and just forgotten to draw that part, except it's labeled World's Rend.
Okay,
so that's the information I'm going to give you. Flick it through on a 27. I'll give you a little bit more as well. So you begin to like pull these map, like not exactly pull the pages out, but you know what I mean. You get a good idea on where they are spatially.
I detail my own map.
And as you begin to look through them, yeah. And as you begin to look through other maps, you realize that, hey, this is a map of a city that's nearby, and it seems to have like a tunnel system that comes from here, but actually goes off the page and goes somewhere else. And by piecing together some of this little piece of information, about 4 days walk from where you are, you would reckon 4 days walk from where you are, on the map there is marked a waterfall, but some of the cave systems look like they go from that waterfall all the way up to that missing area on the map.
Hmm. So there is a point where you Rawl and Squash are talking, and then there's just an aha, think I've got it.
I'm going to say, despite the 27, this is going to take some time.
Then you guys are probably
so they
sleeping.
They are way done with this conversation.
Okay.
They are way done with this conversation.
You guys are doing whatever the fuck, and then there's an aha.
Some time back. All right. So I'll hold on to your aha moment, and then a few hours later, we'll say that Odette and Zoltana are back with everybody else.
Okay.
Urog has said hello. Again, surprised by the arrival of another person.
Oh, don't worry. That's a goddess. She does this. She comes and goes.
So you did have two contingencies, I mean.
No, that one was not planned. Well,
she's her own thing.
You had two.
I was counting acid and the fact I could get away in the stalking if I need to. And then,
We can't account for goddesses or deities in general.
I punch harder than you think. That's kind of a contingency, right?
Do you know what? I'm going to back out this room as if I was never here. All right, how about that? Just don't fuck with any of our shit, all right? Because I've got a delicate balance I'm maintaining here. I'm going to go cook.
You're right, it's pretty delicate
we've
stuff.
We've got a delicate balance to maintain too, don't worry. You go do your delicate balance things. It's okay.
She looks like she doesn't understand what you're doing.
I will keep my maps to myself.
It's a joke. She's not available.
I will leave and just never come back. I know where I'm going.
Like I said, delicate balance things.
She meanders off. You hear like some ruckus and some noise coming from the room with the elderly lady in it, but it doesn't seem to be anything like to be concerned about. Just the occasional bump and a thump,
the
and that's about it, really. The elderfant. Thank you. Odette says hello, and she says, "So I can make a feast that might help you a little, I guess.
That sounds delicious.
If you want.
I think the people that have been here for a while will probably enjoy that. So we should probably invite them.
We just left the room and kind of a thing. So.
Yeah, but if we say, hey, we've got a feast. Everything. Yeah, okay. But if I understood them correctly, they've been surviving off berries.
Yes, they might... will enjoy it.
Yeah, we should invite them. You are right.
Okay. Well, and with that, Adette starts a ritual. She kind of clears the table, which kind of messes up your math system.
No. I need
that.
Oh, God. All right. But you.
You've calmed down. You can always redo your maps. Jeez.
Redo the
maps. I mean,
maps.
I could not make this if you'd rather. That's.
Trying to save the. Like, Adette, he's just grouchily putting it together.
Don't you have a nest to read?
That's for later when I come back and make this into my academy, all right? That's fine.
Academy?
I thought you gods and goddesses are supposed to know all the... No? Zoltana did? Well, that's fine. You guys have been busy. I want to open a school for psionics.
Oh, that's really nice.
I only have so much time with...
You're thinking of using this place?
It looks like it would work. The idea, so the idea is that...
Ross, like...
Because of the fact that I live a very long time being an elf. You know this as a former elf yourself.
Yeah.
And Kythea being of a shorter-lived race, the time that we have together is very precious. So we would open a school together because she has some psychic things herself. And we can work together and make this a nice thing that we do and enjoy our time together. And then when it's time for me to move on, there should be someone else to take up the mantle of teaching psionics to people. And I can go back and lead my people and deal with that whole thing. And
she stops casting and she looks at you and she says, "You're kind of a romantic, aren't you?"
I've never done this before. I'm just trying my best.
She stopped casting. Bounce ruined dinner again.
No. I'm sorry. God damn it.
Joking.
That was breakfast. I fucked up one time.
Jokes.
Tythia's been teaching me, all right? It's fine.
Oh, you guys are talking about the time Balance set fire to the street, right?
I will make all of your brains explode.
How did you know
you
about
weren't
that?
Even there when that happened.
And the street part was Zoltana. Zoltana was the one that threw that out the window. That was not me.
That's not the version of the story I heard.
No, that was Zoltana that threw it out the window.
Yes, blame me. Blame me for your fire.
The fire... We're not getting into this. We're not getting into this.
A hero's feast is laid upon the table. The two companions, the two people that live here, Urog and Elazar,
yep,
come and join you at the table. Just before, like, as you, everyone is sitting down, Urog actually brings a chair that would work for Raoul. There's a hole in the back for a tail. They come and they bring us and they set this down next to you. It's like, like I said, I'm something for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Lavian like leans over to Zoltana and is like, "Zoltana, are we supposed to say like a prayer, a thing over the like?"
Uruk's already eating. So is Elazar.
Zoltana looks at you very seriously and goes, "This food will make you sick if you don't pray exactly correct." And then she just starts, and then she like looks at the food, bows her head, is quiet for a second, and then like just starts eating it.
I'm making an insight roll.
Take a deception check with advantage. This is your wife's food.
I am an asshole.
That is a 20 on insight.
Let's see what I got on my deception, and I have advantage on it, so I get to roll 20.
Fuck?
I got 23. So,
what am,
deception needed.
No, he like elbows. He's like, what am I supposed to say? What do I do? What do I do here?
She kind of gives you a look like kind of disappointed in you that you don't know.
I'm not religious. I don't.
Okay. You gotta bow your head. Okay.
As Raoul is next to you eating.
Gotta cross your eyes. Uh-huh. And you gotta say, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Amen."
Odette is losing her shit next to you.
I think I would rather commit sin.
Well, then you're gonna get sick.
Squash lifts up a turkey leg going, thanks for the food, Odette.
Squash is going to get sick, man. I'm telling you.
You know what? You know what?
They're going to die, Balance. Oh my gosh.
Well, but wait, Zoltana, it's okay. She's the goddess of forgiveness. She'll forgive me for this.
So Zoltana shrugs and goes, okay, if you want to risk it.
Lafayette's just going to raise up a piece of meat to Odette and just go, goddess, forgive me for I have sinned, and just starts eating.
Zoltana just starts fucking dying of laughter.
Yeah, it's already dying next to you. She just can't stop laughing. Okay.
I really was hoping I'd be able to get him to do it.
Oh, that would have been so good.
I like the idea that he quietly says it to himself after lunch when nobody's around.
Let's see if I can, if it's actually in the roll 20 or not. It is. Yay.
Praying for food?
So she has created, well, you need to pray for food. Otherwise, Odette will be super angry at you.
Yeah.
I need She'll to pray for patience for didn't. This fucking group. That's what I need to do. Is there a god of patience?
It's me. I'm doubling duty.
You know, somehow I don't think that fits your MO.
Okay, so I would like everybody to roll. No, I'm just going to roll 2d10. Screw it.
Is this a hero's feast?
The goddess made this herself. You get 20 temporary hit points.
Jesus. That is a hero's feast.
Oh, actually, it's your hit point maximum that increases by 20. So just note somewhere on the side you have 20 extra hit points.
I'm just marking it where the temp would go.
Forever.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, just pay attention to that. You have that for 24 hours. I'm not saying you're going to get attacked in 24 hours, but it's there in case you do. You are cured of all diseases and poisons. Not that any of you are suffering any. You become immune to poison and also immune to being frightened. And all wisdom saving throws are done with advantage. So a hero's feast is had. Everyone seems to be happy and chill. There is wine for those who want it, beer for those who want it, water for otherwise.
Elvish wine.
Basically, what you want is pretty much on this table. Yes, there is elvish wine, but no, you cannot bottle it and use
it as
firepower.
No, this one's for drinking.
Yes, this one is solely for drinking. Yeah, there is everything you would want on here. Okay, that's basically the evening. And then you hear, aha, about an hour or so later.
Oh, okay, it took that fucking long, all right.
Yeah, like it would take a while for you to have plotted that way. Like you would have had to pick apart various maps to put together the underground path.
Okay. Aha! Think I've got it.
Yeah. What do you think you got?
You got your nest.
Ross is still eating.
No, not the nest, Ralt.
You can't still be eating. It only lasts for an hour. Well, stop it.
Squash,
Aetho is eating.
Squash,
is what
eating
you're
air.
To say.
What are you doing?
Well, it used to be really yummy, and now it's gone, and I miss it.
Don't tell him it's not real. Ross casting magic.
Minor illusion, more food.
Ruined the joke, Balance.
So, Tony, your friends are very funny.
Like an hour ago, the food got really bad, but I'm still here, so like...
It's because you didn't do the prayer.
So you were having an epiphany?
Yes, I had an epiphany. Apparently.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
There's a waterfall not far from here, maybe 4 days or so. There's apparently a cave there. It looks like this cave system goes to this place called World's Rend. It's very undetailed for a very detailed map, and... If any place were to be it, I think that would be it. It looks to be the dead north of this world.
We're going underground again.
It just seems like the safer and faster path.
And you think this World's Rend is where Kesa put, set down for the first time?
Seems that way, yes.
Sounds
poetic.
Are the tests underground?
I would think not, but I genuinely don't know how that's going to work.
Well, Sultana's a dwarf. Like, definitely could be.
I am a dwarf. That is a true fact.
Right, but the way I understand it, these tests are not going to be, and we have to be very careful on what we say here. I don't want to give our friends any headaches or anything.
I'm going to say that your two other companions are not here.
Okay.
Adet probably wouldn't count. It's probably fine.
Goddess, yeah.
In front of Adet, but not the other two.
Probably is at least somewhat aware.
She can't help you, but that's all I can basically say.
Yes, I think that the tests are going to be individual. I think that this is our quickest route. Do I have enough mapping of the cave system to know how to get there?
Yeah, like you would know, like when you get to this point, turn left or get to this point, continue straight on. It doesn't really detail the cave system much more than that.
Okay.
So you would reckon that, you know, it's travel outside in the cold, which is going to get worse the more north you get. And the conditions, which are going to get worse the more north you get. Right. Yeah.
Need to be careful. There
really
might be bears.
Majorly specific in the ground. Yeah, here be bears.
I'm telling you right now, if we go in these caves and at any point you start describing teeth, I'm leaving.
Oof.
I will leave the game. I'm not...
Okay.
I'm not about that, V.
It's when the ground is made up of those tiny little pebble things, the little pebble boxes, then you need to be concerned.
This is going to be a bit of travel. I don't know what we should do in regards to the ship and everything, but maybe best that we plan to come back here afterwards and then see about taking our new friends back to Discora.
Maybe they know a better way through the forest. We could just send them ahead to the ship. They could deliver a message for us to the boatsmen, like an estimate of how long it would take for us.
Do we trust the Dragonborn to take them to Discora, though, if the Dragonborn are not going to Discora? I don't know if I trust them with a whole lot.
That is a good point.
I think that they were rather nice. They seemed to like us.
They were nice to us because Vinrandra has told them to be nice to us.
Exactly.
We did also kind of save them. Twice.
Squash does a big head nod to that.
I'm inclined to trust them.
Why don't you leave it to them? They can go to the ship, or they can come with us. And then leave whenever we leave, however we leave.
I don't think we should take them with us to the North Pole. It's not going to do us any favors, that's for sure.
They can't know what you're doing.
Right.
And she looks up at you all.
Already got one headache making that mistake.
Yeah. The Seven are been rumbled in various places, but you can't be found out at all.
The Seven? Is that what they're calling us now?
No, the others. Emil and Soren.
Oh, got you.
The book.
I like her.
You would. You are an arm of the gods.
Okay, well, why don't we get them in here, let them know what we're doing, and then I think it's best that we rest up for the night, recoup, and then head out first thing in the morning. Okay.
Okay.
Go get the two, the Urog and Elazar.
When you get to that kind of room, Urog is conveniently leaving. It's just very quietly tiptoeing and closing the door behind her.
Elazar's already asleep, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put her down to rest.
I will fill you in then and trust that you can fill in Elazar.
Yeah, sure, of course.
So,
let's get a bit further away so we don't accidentally wake the old lady.
Right. Well, why don't you just come into the room with everyone else and we'll have a good old chat.
She goes into the room, but she kind of gives Adet a little bit of a wide berth because
It's a goddess sitting next to her and her kitchen table. So she's just going to very, very tentatively sit down, look awkward.
So essentially what we're considering, I've pulled through the maps here. We have a route. We're going to be heading north.
Right.
Reason we bring you into this conversation is because we have a ship waiting for us that is supposed to be taking us back after we're done with our venture here. If you would like, since you had mentioned earlier that the group of you had been trying to get to Discora, which we're from, if you would like
that to... That was some years before. I think I know what you're going to offer, but Mars is just a little bit too old to be doing that kind of a journey now.
Understandable. And
she doesn't always know where she is.
That happens to us quite frequently.
Yeah. She's comfortable where she is. She's got a home. She's got the three of us. I don't think she wants to do this. I mean, I can ask her and I will, but I don't want to risk losing her just to get her somewhere else.
Understandable.
And I mean, how long's the... I mean, are there ships that pass frequently? Is it something I could...
Absolutely
when the worst
not.
Happens?
They don't like coming here. This is a dangerous area.
Yeah, you're telling me about it.
Yeah. Now, the oceans are also fraught. They're not... It was a journey to get here, and I don't think anybody's going to come here willingly again anytime soon. Why are you still here if you've met other people?
She's kind of like scratching her head and like figuring out how much to tell you. So I'm going to want a persuasion roll.
From who and...
Either one of you.
Please. Squash is not very persuasive.
Is Squash helping, I guess?
Yeah.
Sure.
Wow. Really?
What'd you get?
A whopping 10. It was a 1 and a 3.
Jesus.
Oof. Oof.
No, you know what? Because we're going to be going to bed soon. So, I use a luck point.
Hey!
Because sure. I still have all three of those, and I sometimes forget that I have the lucky feet. Much better, 24.
There we go.
So, Ma kind of pulled into the island, and I didn't have a family, so she, you know, she's a good woman. And as we were traveling along to Discora, we got a little... We came across a thing closer to Discora. Like, there was this thing covered in fire and it just wrecked a bunch of boats. So Mar teleported us as far north as she could and she cast a spell that she's been trying to not cast, hold on to, maybe change things so that we didn't get so destroyed by it. But it went wrong and she kind of doesn't know what existence is real right now. And she made me promise her that we'd stay where we ended up so that she could figure out how to make this safe, learn things, and keep trying to cast it, but she can't anymore. And then she just got too old and I should have moved her earlier. But, you know, she was my ma and you can't always go against parents, so.
You couldn't move her earlier.
Yeah. She didn't want to go. She was still... I mean, she still didn't know what existence was real and which wasn't, but she kept trying to cast this theoretical spell and she never managed to do it again. I don't know what she changed. If she changed anything at all, I think she just saw all the other existences out there and kind of got a little bit lost. And then... She got too old and I don't want to move her.
Could she forget them? If a specter made her forget them? She wouldn't be lost anymore.
It might work.
What are you thinking, Raul?
I could ask Spectre, but he hasn't been around. Spectres can take memories. I was going to give mine. Something like that might help someone like her.
I'll ask her. I mean, she's working on some pretty high-level magics. She might understand exactly what you're talking about. When you pass back this way, if you pass back this way, I'll give you a sure answer. Thank you for trying to help us, I guess.
Sure. I'm going to be a Spectre one day. I have to learn it anyhow. I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but
so,
I'm, you know,
there's
going to learn.
She looks over at it. There's a goddess at my table and a Spectre.
Well, there's a lot more than that, but yes.
Quiet, Prince.
I
yeah, well, there's that.
Well, all right, I will, as she kind of stands up and backs up in that comical way of like where she knocks the chair over and picks it back up and puts it back down again, like, I'll go speak to Mumsy and see what she, all right, cool. Yes, I will have an answer when you come back next. I might need a little, okay. And she turns around, like shrugs her shoulders a little bit, like, what the hell is my life?
Not every day that you meet a Spectre in training, a goddess.
A goddess in training. A goddess, a prince, and someone who turns into a frog.
Prince and the frog.
Oh,
fuck,
no.
Why do we not make that joke sooner? God damn it.
No.
All right.
Instead of kissing the frog, I would have thrown him against the fucking wall.
Let me break your curse.
All
right. So, y'all are going to get ready to go the planned route that Slafian has made. This is the last night of rest you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Like, without me making you do watches or rolls or any of that good stuff. You only have the supplies that you have, so please make a note of how many rations you have. Some may get lost or destroyed on this journey. Please know how many you have.
I've got 16 marked this on is my why sheet. You... I think we...
That's fine.
...said it in a previous episode.
There was a bear or a deer at one point that you killed and someone added it to your ration list. I'm going to say...
That meat is rotten
it's
and
rotten.
Bad.
You
now.
Can't eat it.
But we did
what?
Get...
What? Taking away my bear ration.
We...
Bastard.
Yeah.
We did get ration. You did tell us to do this when we left for the boat trip, I think. And you gave us each a certain number. And I have 16 checked, but I don't know if that's real or not. So it might have been like you gave us 10 or something. I think you had someone roll a d20. I can't remember. Does anyone else have a 16 ration on their sheet?
Yep.
I've got 6.
I have 16 on my sheet.
Okay, then that matches. This seems.
All right, then we'll assume that everybody has 16 rations.
Oh, okay.
Like either through hook or by crook or by stealing or by eating less or more. Everybody has 16 rations and that's what's going to be on your character sheet now.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody has 16 rations when you get up tomorrow. All okay, right. Sultana.
Yo.
What would you like to do with the evening?
Cuddle with my lady. She's still here, right?
Perfect.
You're free to do whoever you want.
Yes, she is.
Thank you. Well, I'm married.
I realized
so not
after I could have phrased that differently.
Yeah.
Cuddle with my lady.
Spend
and,
time.
You know.
Yeah. Spend time with your lady. That's cool. That Finn looks like he's writing on a sheet. Raoul.
Updating my character sheet.
What do you want to do?
Oof, what time is it?
Time to get a watch.
It's nighttime.
Nighttime.
Yeah. If you venture past the cooking pit, which has been like relit and refueled with something that is around, or perhaps they just cast bonfire again, like you can see that there's kind of like an aurora going above your heads right now. It's pretty.
Oh.
I don't know what else Rao wants.
Is a Borealis gone? Shit.
Who all is around me? Is everyone around here somewhere?
Whoever you want to be around can be around. Like, it's fine. If you want to, for example, talk to Adette or Zoltana or anyone else, like, just assume at some point they'll become available. Like, it's a whole night, so.
Okay. Well, at some point, I think Raul might try to go to the stocking and see.
Okay.
Because now he has, like, two reasons to go. And
okay.
Figure things out. He's still not super sure about it, so he wants to go find someone to, like, watch him and make sure that he doesn't,
that's fine.
Faceplant into a stalking wall and come back with, like, zero hit points or something. Crazy like that.
This actually really helps, because at the moment, Adette's turning up and Raoul's ability to break through to the stalking appear on the same days right now, because they're on the same cooldowns. So I'm real happy by this right now.
Using it so that the timer is easy. Awesome.
I'm happy because I know that y'all are going to screw with it at some point, but like right now I'm happy about this. Yes, you can. However, much like before when you were trying to put the piece of trash into the stalking, I'm going to need you to make a wisdom save.
Okay.
Because this still is a form of teleportation magic.
Oof. I rolled a natural 1 for 11.
Oh no.
However, I can spend a key point to reroll it.
Please go ahead. Diamond Soul, fuck you. And now you're proficient in all saving throws. Of course you are. Yeah. Yes, go right
ahead. It's a 21. I had a plus 10 to it. I just rolled a natural 1.
As you try and push your way into the stalking, there is a much more resistance, much like with your hand when you're trying to put the trash through. But you manage to somehow get your entire essence, your entire being through to the stalking. Your body is obviously left behind, but your soul is here. You see the sepia tones all around you, but they are distorted and they have odd tints and hues that aren't here when you normally break through. There are kind of strange blues and purples around here as well, much like above you, the light sky. There is all of this still going around here. And sitting opposite you are your spectre and Sultana's spectre.
Oh, hi.
They kind of just wave at you.
Hello.
I wasn't sure y'all were going to be here.
We've been busy. Some of us got promotions.
And you see him looking over a Sultana Spectre who just like completely does like the rock hand and like,
yeah, my girl.
That's good, I guess.
Yeah. So... how's it going?
Hey, so I need help finding an hourglass.
If skulls could raise eyebrows, they would.
I managed to see Amos, but I could not find Demis, and it would help us.
They look at each other and look back at you.
How would that help, Raoul?
It would give us a time frame. As of right now, when she dies, is going to be at the point when all of this and she ends and tries to stop this. Someone needs to know when that is.
Looking at the hourglasses is not an exact thing.
I saw them turning.
They can be dropped and broken. But it would give you a time frame.
And Sultana Spectre looks over and says,
if they catch you, power you, your...
Perhaps then you should distract them.
I don't want to be set. Do you know what? I have a feeling Sultana's in on this, so... Yeah, sure.
And you see them kind of disappear into a black mist and just dissipate.
I'll have an answer for you.
Okay.
I have to wait for her to do her thing.
Thank you. Can I ask that maybe I don't know? Maybe it's something I don't need to know. Think about, worry about.
I could just deliver the message.
Don't worry about what we're doing. I'll get you that answer. Best that I can read these things.
Thank you.
Well, I can't risk doing this again.
It's okay. It's important, but I can learn to see them myself, and I'll get better at that. How do you take someone's memories?
He smiles at you, and he says,
"When you're a specter, and not before." Sorry, buddy.
And he puts a hand on your shoulder and he pushes you back into reality.
Hmm. But I need to figure out how to get it to where she can...
Damn it.
So I have to figure out how to get her to the stalking. And then see if Spectre can do it there.
Shank.
I've asked neither of those questions. Damn it.
Okay. Laffian. No, Squash. What do you do, Squash? Laffian looks like you're still adding stuff to your character sheet.
I think Squash wants to talk to the orc lady whose name is difficult to pronounce.
Uruk.
Uruk. I think Squash wants to find Uruk and talk to them.
Okay. She's kind of just in her room. Like, you hear movement and you see light under one of the doors, and you can see the flickering candlelight.
Would she not be in the library?
So it's very easy to... No.
Ah.
She's in her room. It is late at night.
Okay. But it's a new room that they haven't been able to access for a long while. I thought maybe. Whatever.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's Tomorrowhurst's problem.
Squash is just gonna then, like, walk up to the door and knock on it real, like, not gentle wise.
Give me a minute, and you hear like a fluttering around and like the sound of like cloth on flesh, and like, yeah, you can come in now.
Hey, and Squash opens the door.
Her room is pretty simple. It's as in fact more sparsely furnished than her mum's room. You can see that there is a spell book on the table, but it's just not well kept and it's not well ordered. She's wearing like a robe that she's tied around herself really quickly. She was clearly getting changed or getting ready. So,
sorry for distracting you this late at night. I didn't mean to bother. I was just kind of wondering about your. So Squash is gonna like
worrying
just,
about my.
Squash is gonna just kind of reach down. Roll up his sleeve so his runes are visible, and then he's gonna cast Cure Wounds on himself to cure the cold damage he took from the water earlier that night, and also show off his magic.
Sit down. What? I mean, I don't know a lot about magic, but that's pretty cool. I've not seen that before.
That's a couple taught me that one. Very nice one. I saw that you also have runes, and I'm very new to this.
Oh, right. And they roll up their sleeve, and you can see that they've got a couple of runes that are on their forearm. Mm. You can, like, as they turn their head and they pull back, like they're covering on their neck, you can see that they have one sort of on the very side of it. And it's like, yeah, like, I don't know, this one here came about when I learned how to, like, freeze people in place. This one came about when I learned how to... Well, that was more of an accident, really. Like, someone, like, punched me. A bear punched me, and I kind of accidentally set it on fire after that. So that's when that one came about. I know. That's kind of random.
Do you not intentionally add your runes?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, sorry.
That's not how runes kind of work, really. I mean, at least not the way that I've learned magic. It's not a thing.
I figured out how to add them by studying and mimicry.
So you look at someone do magic and then suddenly you can cast it. Like, no studying, no nothing.
Well, there was some studying and some fiat involving drugs. But I've okay. stopped doing that. I'm doing it the right way now.
Okay, that makes... I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
So, I don't know what to ask. I just... Do you not know how to cast spells, or what? How do you do it?
So, I can kind of like read my spell book. She can show me a bit of this and a bit of that, and then the person that I talk to, they give me magic access, I guess. I don't really know how to explain it better than that. Like, I get magic from a place. Yeah, like, you know, I needed magic and I agreed to help someone out. So they gave me magic.
You're a warlock.
And I kind of learned how to... Well, yeah, aren't you?
No, no. I'm not a warlock. I'm Squash.
Okay, I've not heard of that form of magic, but sure. No. Like, she's clearly taking the piss.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Wait, so, yeah, you're a warlock. What does that mean? What have you done?
Well, I needed magic, and I prayed super hard, and someone listened to me and they reached out and gave me power. And then I pay him back once I'm off theater.
And do all warlocks have the same person?
No, not at all.
So you're not listening to angry orc god. Grumsh.
No, Grumsh is always here and she like taps the side of her head. But I've kind of learned to ignore what I want to ignore and live my life. And if they give good advice, then I listen to him. And if I don't like what he says, I fucking ignore him. But I don't listen to another god. It's just we kind of sometimes get feelings backwards and forwards. Oh, I don't know how to explain it, mate.
You have a god in your head.
Not really. I feel like you're trying to ask something real specific, but you're not asking it.
My friend made a warlock path with Grumsh. And
that's bloody stupid.
I believe she didn't do it because she wanted to. I believe she did it because it was the right thing at the time to do. I believe that she thinks that was the only way forward.
She might have been right. So, what are you trying to find out?
Is there a way to sever a warlock pact?
Well, I mean, in theory, I could. Like, sever mine. I could just say no. Like, we're not doing this anymore. There'll be repercussions. But, like, Tyr's not that fucking way inclined.
So you can walk away from a warlock pact then any time?
Well, yeah, in theory, like, any warlock can break their pact. It would just be bloody stupid. Like, imagine making a deal with a god or a really powerful being, and then, like, thanks to the magic, but fuck you. They're going to get pretty pissed at you. I mean, I don't think Tyr would do that so much. He's one of the good ones. He'd understand if I spoke, you know, prayed properly. You know, but I ain't done that in a while.
So if you were going to screw over a god, you'd have to learn how to hide from them.
Yeah. I mean, it's doable. There's spells out there will let you do it. There's magical runes out there that will let you do it. Basic nullification magic will do the job.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, like, you really don't know much about magic. You've been like super new at this, right?
Squash goes into the back of holding and holds up the book. This is my one and only book. I am halfway through it.
Okay, well, I can't read what that says, so sure, I'll believe you. No, like, simple nullification magic, like, it'll suppress a warlock mark. It'll suppress any sort of magic, really. Like, warlock mark, god marks, what else is there? Ability to cast magic, like...
Hmm.
So it'll be your best bet if you're trying to hide it.
So you have to kind of suppress...
I mean, it doesn't actually stop a god sting to be able to see you. I mean... If it's with Grimsh, then any orc that would see your friend would be able to, Grimsh would know where they were then, but it's good as a temporary measure.
Temporary.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of people out there and eventually someone's going to see him, isn't they? Like, God's eyes aren't everywhere all the time, but you can damn well bet Grimsh can see through mine. If he wanted to. I think he cares about me.
Squash is like staring into her eyes right now. Just kind of like... Okay. Okay.
Could also strip him of magic. Be another sure way for of making sure that the warlock can't cast any magic anymore.
Strip them of magic?
Yeah, it's not pleasant. I mean, consider doing it with Mar, but... I couldn't do that to her. Magic's her life.
How do you do that?
But it's an option. Bunch of potions, bunch of spells. Not easy. Not pleasant.
Is it something you could explain roughly to me?
Does your friend want this?
Well, I'm sure they don't want to be a slave to Grimsh.
I'll rephrase that. Did you ask him?
No, it's... She's not always there. Grooms is mostly there. And last time I saw them, I didn't actually...
I need you to roll a persuasion check.
But I'm bad at those!
I oh, don't care. Fuck's giving a zero. It's going to be a difficult check.
That's a two.
She shakes her head. No. Oh, I'm sorry, mate. No. Oh, I know that you've got, like, god friends and spectre friends in there and everything. No way. You don't even know much about magic, so even less chance I'm going to give it to someone who might botch it. No way.
Okay. I can respect that. It's your choice.
Yeah.
Do you know any simple spells or tricks that I might be able to learn off you?
Yeah, how about this one? I was just about to go set them, and they perform the alarm spell. Ta-da!
Gross is going to copy it.
You're welcome. They seem fascinated and intrigued in how, as you cast this alarm spell, provided you have the ink somewhere in your inventory on your person,
yes, I do.
How the alarm spell just appears on your, like, pick a place on your body, and the alarm spell will appear there. It's a lot less painful than it was last time. You're becoming slightly more proficient with magic. They also show you how to do dispel magic.
Ooh.
They also show you how to undo the things that they've done. And you now get your class thing of dispel magic. So you now have access to that extra higher level of spell slots, I believe.
Hello everyone, Aether here, and I just wanted to thank you for listening to the first episode of The Lucky Die. It's been a long road here, and we're currently having a giveaway, which I really wanted to remind everybody and ask everybody to take part in. If you win, you might get one of four or all four of the mirror arts that Cassie has been working on, and it is looking absolutely crazy. I also want to thank our Patreon, August Humbert and Cesarius. Thank you guys so much. Without your help, we wouldn't be able to produce at such a quality, at such a scale, at such a pace. And I want to let everybody know that the ad we're about to run is The Fate of Aizen, so check them out. Have a good day and a good work week. Bye.
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Aizen is a podcast that has wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them! Now go listen to The Fate of Ison because it's good and you deserve good things. Fate of Ison, a proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.
And how are you doing?
I just put a piece of popcorn in my mouth, so give me a second. I don't know why I thought that would be an opportune time to do that. But for some reason, I was like, this is a good time to put a piece of food in my mouth.
Blooper.
Kellen Vore has a tattoo on his ass.
And Torm has a collection of Warhammer figures?
How do you even know that?
Yeah, Torm is the biggest.
Torm is a Warhammer fan.
Biggest, like, miniature. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of, like, things that would be shocking to hear about the gods, and those were the first things I came up with. I don't even know.
His biggest rival is Tempest.
It's beautiful. Canon, and I freaking love it.
Tempest has all the orcs. So he's got space marines.
The God of Lord and Order plays the Chaos Marines. Yeah.
Wait, who got Sabras's old Pogs collection?
He had some absolutely killer vinyl. It was great. Everything from like 90s on vinyl was great.
Well, obviously, what's his face got it? Who took over his place?
What right.
Titus?
Yeah, Titus.
Titus is collecting Pogs. Titus.
Why do I feel like Zoltana would be collecting tech decks?
because you know me and my characters way too well. You're Zoltana absolutely 100% right.
Tech decks everywhere.
Oh gosh,
we're hurting. Yeah. We're hurting. V,
you're welcome.
Who has the Pop Funko collection? That's the real question.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.